This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome into First Take. Yeah, it's early.
Yeah, it works if you turn it on.
It works to turn your mic on. I think I said a whole sentence before I realized I wasn't on the air.
How come it sounds different?
It sounds weird. I don't hear anything. I'm looking at Dave Potter. Turn my mic up. He's like, turn it on. And welcome. Good morning. Yes, it is early Sunday morning. Fans First Take here on WWL. I'm Todd Manessas, along with former Saints offensive lineman Steve Court. Steve, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Saints taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars in the Legend of Uncle Rico today.
Oh, yeah. That kid's having a good time. He's fun to watch. I tell you, look, I have this insomnia problem, and all last year when that kid was at Washington State, I would watch these Washington State games because they're on till like 2:30 in the morning, you know.
And on the West Coast, yeah.
Yeah, and I kept thinking, man, this guy is a football playing Jesse. I mean, he was making all kind of plays last year, throwing the ball to the field, and I mean, just making plays like crazy. I said, this guy's really fun to watch, and so it's kind of fun to watch him kind of see if he can do that same thing in the NFL. And so far, he's having a good time with it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not as good a quarterback as Foles is, but he certainly is relishing the spot at this moment. And he's making himself a lot of money.
He sure is. I like was it NFL Network or ESPN that did a little piece with him and the guy that played Uncle
ESPN,
Rico?
Yeah,
Uncle Rico. And
that was great.
If anyone doesn't know that, Uncle Rico is from Napoleon Dynamite. He was the uncle who... Yeah. It was a high school football star and kept filming himself saying he could have been an NFL star.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking, hey, you want to see me throw that football over the mountain? I could throw a football a quarter mile. All these crazy things. And apparently the way they did it off was that he trained Gardner Minshew. So
that was good.
That was very good.
And he embraced it real well and sort of, hey, if he can't make it as a quarterback, he can certainly make it as a bit actor because he did a good job of that.
He sure did. They both did. But anyway, looking at that Saints and the Jacksonville Jaguars, this will be the second week that the second time, I should say, this season that the LSU Tigers and the New Orleans Saints are battling a state. We had the Texas conflict the same weekend with the Texans and Texas. This week we've got the Jaguars and, of course, LSU defeated Florida last night in Death Valley. So
I'll tell you what, I each and every week this is the first time in quite some time that I've been really, really confident about LSU and them being able to have a complete team the way they play. And again, look, there's always room to improve everywhere. There's no question. I don't care, you know, at what position you need to improve in, but. It's the first time that we've had a quarterback that is really an NFL quarterback caliber kind of a kid that's out there that's able to, you know, not only use his physical ability, but the cerebral part of it and to be able to direct and win the game, you know. And look, this guy's thrown into some tight windows. This is not these guys aren't just running free down the field. You know, these are good defenses and they've got some pretty tight coverage. At the same time, This guy's making some serious throws and really putting him into tight windows, like I said before, and then making things happen. And look, you know, LSU ran against really for the first time this year, other than Texas a little bit. They ran into really a team that was pretty formidable in Florida, no question, and continued to sort of just wear on him, and pretty soon, you know, you got the turnover and those types of things, and that's what it takes to win, but. They keep hanging in there. If I could be super critical about it, they need to really sort of pick up the tackling.
Yeah.
The defense is really they need to start really breaking down and doing some fundamental things tackle-wise. They keep rotating, just players in there that are just of good college football players, and that's first and foremost. It's Jimmy's and Joe's and not X's and O's, and LSU's got a bunch of good ones.
I think this is the first, I don't want to say the first. Last year was a hint of it, but this year I think it's the first year when the offense is on the field, I don't feel nervous. I think Joe Burrow and that offense is going to find a way to score.
Right. No,
and this year,
there's a certain command he has in that offense that you feel sort of comfortable. Not comfortable, but I would say you're anticipating good things to happen instead of anticipating bad things to happen.
And this year, it's when the defense is on the field, I'm kind of like, okay, guys, we got to tackle, got to get a stop. So it's kind of odd that it's reversed this year with the Tigers and for the last couple of years, but if they can, I think this is the first time we were talking about this before the show, and I know this we're going to talk about the Saints, people. But before the show, this is the first time I think LSU could hang with Alabama in scoring.
I agree with you. I really think that, look, Alabama is not the formidable team that they have been in the past few years. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, they're Alabama. You know, and they still have a great quarterback in their own right in Tua. But the same, this is one of those times when this is going to be – this is setting itself up to be really the best game of college football in the year of this year so far if things keep going on schedule the way they do. I know they don't play till second week of November or something like that. But, things are setting up to where this is really going to be – this is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of fun, the New Orleans Saints have actually been fun to watch the last couple of weeks as well. Bridgewater and the things that Sean Payton has been doing creatively on the offense and the defense.
I can't tell you how many people thought when Drew went down with a thumb that we were just finished and mm-hmm. we were lucky if we were going to be 500 and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, no, I didn't feel that way. I never did feel. I thought, okay, I don't think that. I still think this team was a good enough team all the way around. Both the way the defensive aspect of it has played, as well as our kicking game mm-hmm. has stepped up, return game is completely improved. And then look, I knew we had a great offensive line, and I knew that we have Kamara and those types of tools. And look, I felt comfortable knowing that if you gave Teddy Bridgewater a abbreviated version and let him digest each and every week and get his timing back, I've seen this guy play before. He was a good player with Minnesota, and I knew that he had the capability because I've watched him in practice a number of times. I mean, standing right behind the guy,
mm-hmm.
and I see what he's doing. And this guy's got some skills and some talent, and he's an NFL quarterback. And look, he's each and every week that we see him, he's better than the previous week. And that is so that makes you feel so good about this team because mm-hmm. I knew that Sean Payton had a hold of this and said, look, this is what we're going to do. And I knew that he was going to get creative and he was going to put things together. And it's been a masterpiece so far, the way that he's done this. And it's going to continue.
And on the opposite end of the spectrum, the Jaguars were expected to be fairly decent this year, of course, with Foles, but he went down.
Yeah, the Jaguars are a funny team. And I'll tell you why. Because they used to have this – a few years ago, they had this defense that was mm-hmm. just staunch. I mean, they were tough, and it was going to be, you're going to spend a couple of extra days in the bath, ice bath, because they were going to bring it. They were going to put it on.
That was the year they made it to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, and they were as physical as they could be, and they would just try to beat you up. And now they're trying to be that same team, and they feel like they you can tell by watching them that they feel they're doing this kind of bully-type mentality. But they don't have the guys to pull it off anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not to say they don't have the personnel, but they don't have the personnel along the lines of scrimmage that they once had. They still got some good players, spotty here and there, but they don't play. They try to do these things. So now they've reverted to defensively to running everything down,
mm-hmm.
and so they've changed the way they've had to play, which is good. Look, I know Doug Marrone is a teammate of mine, and he's a smart cat, but at the same time, this team is not they're dangerous, okay, make no question about it, and we've got to go out there and play our best game each and every week like you have to. It's kind of cliche, but if you don't if you don't bring it each and every Sunday, you're going to get beat. It doesn't matter who you're playing, but this team, it doesn't have – now the only thing they can really try to do is run the football. Mm-hmm. Fournette had a couple mm-hmm. good games, and look, he's a big physical back, and you don't want to see him get the ball 20 and 30 times a game, because he will eventually. That means they're being successful out, and they're going to they're going to wear you down, and he's going to pound it, and it's going to, the 3 and 4 yard runs turn into 6, 8, and then 30. So knowing that's the case, you wouldn't let Uncle Rico try to beat you, okay, at this juncture, which is what I would try to do. If I was Dennis Allen, I'd say, look, this is what we got to do. We got to keep this kid in the pocket and make him throw the ball down the field and we'll try to see if we can affect him that way.
Make him throw it out of the stadium, as we
yeah,
saw
there you go.
In the demonstration. Throw it over those mountains. All right. He's Steve Court, former Saints offensive lineman. I'm Todd Meneses. It is the Fan's First Take, which means we want to hear from you. 504-260-1870 is the number to call. Or you can text us at 870-870. We'll be right back. It is the Acadian Windows Fan's First Take here on WWL. And welcome back, 826 here on WWL at Fan's First Take. We'll be joined by Mike Dettillier coming up at 835 for his segment on today's game, along with Steve Court. I'm Todd Meneses. Saints and the Jacksonville Jaguars, or as I like to call them, the London Jaguars, because that's where they're going to end up at some point. I just have a gut feeling.
Maybe you're right.
If the NFL moves to London, which I think they still want to do, I think the Jaguars are the more likely team to go there. Some of the texts that are coming in at 870-870, we're going to Rex Kwando Minshew. Who dat, baby? Who dat? Someone else says, Todd and Steve, after what our city is going through, we're so ready for our Saints to stomp the Jaguars. Please give a shout out to Tulane crushing UConn. Yeah, the Tulane also won this weekend.
They're for real. Yeah, Willie Fritz has got his thing going on over there for sure.
They certainly are. So we got some really good football teams going on in Louisiana this year. Another text says, I know Fournette is good, but please compare him to one of the other backs we have faced. Is he closer to Gurley or to Zeke? What do you think, Steve?
Oof. Well, he's bigger than both of them, mm-hmm. And he's more of a – I'd say he's more of a power guy, so he's probably a little bit more like Elliott, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, maybe a little bit. I don't like to compare guys but it's the same – okay, I'm
– Well, they're trying to – I know they're trying to think, compare our defenses, how we played
look,
against
it's,
each.
Look, it's – You know, Zeke Elliott is part and parcel to his offensive line, mm-hmm. and Dallas has a much better offensive line than the Jaguars. I'm not saying the Jaguars' offensive line is terrible, but they're not at the same level that Dallas is, and I think that has a lot to do with, obviously, if he's going to get hit or not. But, look, they're both really talented, you know, backs, there's no question, you know, and mm-hmm. if Fournette, if you let him get sort of in a rhythm and get him going, you know what he can do. So, you know, we're first and foremost. Yeah, we'll have to sort of box him in for sure.
Speed wise, if they get out in the open, who's faster, Fournette or Zeke?
Yeah, both of them are really fast. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I guess maybe in a straight line, maybe Fournette's a little bit faster. I don't know. Yeah. Elliott's certainly not slow.
Right.
So, look, he's been in the rushing leader for a reason. So, look, I don't know. I just know that we have to stop him.
But it all starts, like you say, up at the with the offensive line.
And, oh, yeah.
And Zeke's running, doing with a better one than Leonard Fournette right now.
Yeah, oh, no question, yeah.
Okay, let's see here. Someone else asking, Steve, what did the Saints do to shut down Shaq Barrett last week?
Stuffed him. I mean, just basically, you know, said, hey, Ryan, and Teron, whatever side he flips to, mm-hmm. He hadn't seen tackles like that before. And so I think that was first and foremost, as I watched that tape, yeah, he's an active guy, but he didn't get close. He didn't even, he was a non-producer. We TJ Watted him mm-hmm. pretty much. And, you know, that's just, that just goes to show you how good, you know, our tackles are because,
yeah,
you get in their way, you're done. It's that play's over for you. So,
well, I know someone had sent something earlier in the week when we were talking about Leonard Fournette and having to stop him. They were saying, "Hey, Leonard Fournette, meet DeMario Davis," because he's been really great at stopping the run and stuffing the guys when they come out. I mean, he's just been a tackling machine for the Saints.
Well, I'll tell you this: look, as far as if you kind of look at the body of work and the you know, the acquisitions and draft picks that we've accumulated over the last past couple of years, he may be the most valuable one we've gotten. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is he's not only a leader, you know, when he's out there, he's a real vocal guy. And at the same time, he's extremely active from the fact that, he is sideline to sideline. He is our version of Keekly, and at the same time, he arrives in a quick manner. I mm-hmm. mean, this guy is, and he's, oof, he's everywhere. I don't know how many tackles he has this year already, but it's got to be, if it's not number one or number two, it's number three.
Yeah. You
know, he's right there at the top. So, look, he's our most productive guy. And, look, that's what we try to do. Our mm-hmm. defensive line, you know, is trying to block for our linebackers to for them to make the hits, and that's what he's doing.
I know a lot of people are saying that, obviously, we've seen the defense turn things on with once Teddy Bridgewater came out there, and a lot of the defensive players have said that they felt that they had to take things on their shoulders for the Seattle game and also for the Dallas game, and they did. They shut both teams down. But now Teddy's coming into his own last week, as we saw. Both are clicking on all cylinders, it seems like, offense and defense.
Yeah.
And some people are saying, are we going to see this same production continue when Drew Brees comes back? Or is this just because it's Teddy Bridgewater?
No, look, I think early on it was because of Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. I think they felt sort of like, ooh, you know, let's don't this, you know, our backup guy's in, so let's really, you know, be the leaders here and sort of take the bull by the horns, and we'll sort of steer this thing into a defensive victory or whatever. That mm-hmm. that might have been the case in the first game or maybe first two games. But I think if you've seen it now, the way that it's becoming to come full circle, because now I think they believe in Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. And I can see that. And I think they feel like, hey, this is great, because now we've raised our level at such a level that, look, you can't go back.
Right.
You can't say, okay, we're going to go ahead and choke back a little bit now.
Just let Brees do it.
Yeah, wait till Brees comes back. No, that's not it. I think they believe in him so much, and they know that not only are they is Teddy Bridgewater going to help them and keep scoring points, but he's not going to hurt them and put them in bad positions. So I think anytime you have a guy like that that's able to not only lead the team offensively, but to do the things that he's supposed to do without beating the teams, because more teams lose games, you know, by that than they do win games. And Teddy Bridgewater has shown that he can win games.
All right, Steve, let's before we get to the break, let's get our expert from Down Under, who knows everything that's going on about the Saints today. And he's been pretty spot on with all of his picks and how things are going to turn out the last couple of weeks. Let's head down to Tony in Melbourne, Australia. Good morning, Tony. Good day.
How are you, Steve and Todd? It's just on 12:30, and I'm about to watch the Kitty Cats and the Suckaneers game.
There you go.
But we've got to stop Campbell. The O-line's got to stop Campbell getting at Teddy. That's number one. And if they can do that, and the defense plane lights out like they have been the last couple of weeks, I honestly believe that we can take the Jaguars and beat them by 2 scores.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll take that. Look, this team is, we're still playing away. It's still a road game. It's still an NFL game, and look, like I said before, they've got enough tools, and look, they've got Robinson at wideout, they've got Chark at wideout, we know who he is, an LSU guy, and they've got Uncle Rico that's throwing the football at this juncture, and then they've got a pretty good running game. So they've got enough tools that they can make it a long day for us if we don't, you know, take care of the ball and do the things that we know that we can do to stop that. But I don't think that Jacksonville is a team that can hang with us for very long. And I think if we get up on them, I think that you'll see us sort of run them away a little bit.
We can't shoot ourselves in the foot by giving away stupid penalties and yardage. Like,
No, you're right. No, we have to shut that down. And I think if we shut that down early to where they feel like that running is an option, but not a very good one, then I think you'll see that when Uncle Rico has to go out and try to beat us with the arm, I think it's going to be a different story.
Yeah, and if we can get after him early and put the acid on him, he'll be in for a bad day.
No question.
And Winston did eat a lot of the turf in the Superdome, as I predicted. We got him 5 times.
Yeah, he was running around like a Jack Russell Terrier around there.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny watching him run in circles and things like that, and we were chasing him down. It was, you love seeing a quarterback on the run like that when your defense is boy, they were. It was like, who wants a sack next?
You love seeing him. Yeah, you love seeing him on the run, but you don't want him to get away, and they didn't get away from him. So,
no, and he's just first play of the day. He's just thrown a pick.
There you go.
Like 10 seconds into the game.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we knew he'd come back to his old form.
So we still got the voodoo still working on him.
All right. Yeah, we took away all his confidence. Yeah. It's 7 weeks before I get on the big white bird.
There you go.
All right.
We're counting the days, Tony. You'll be here soon.
Yeah. It'll be great to catch up with all of you and other people in the Hudat Nation. So. But the Saints will win today. Who that say going to beat them Saints? Not the Jaguars today, that's for sure.
All right, Tony, there he goes. Tony down in...
See you, boys.
All right, see you, guy. Tony down in Melbourne, Australia.
He even said the Jaguar thing.
Jaguar.
It's
Jaguar.
I just told Seth was having a problem. I mean, not Seth, but Zach was having a problem with that.
Yeah.
And I said, Zach, I said, just say Jags.
Jags.
You don't worry about that.
That's why they would be the London Jaguars.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It would elevate the whole team just to move them to London, just the way they say it.
But I could see that being a problem. So he just says, I'm going to call them Jags.
The London Jaguars. Makes them sound like a great team, then. All right, we'll be...
Tea and crumpets for all.
We'll be right back. When we come back, we'll check in with Mike Dettillier and bring you the Scouts Notebook here on WWL. It's Fans First Take, the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. And welcome back to the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. It's time now for the Scouts Notebook with Mike Dettillier, brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, keeping you safe in the game. We welcome in now WWL NFL analyst Mike Dettillier. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Todd.
How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Steve. I know you're there, too.
Yeah, you do. You got to give me the good news. What's the good news? I want to know the good news.
What's your notebook say about today's game? What is your scouting report?
Man, my notebooks say you got to stop Leonard Fournette. Bottom line, I think if you're going to have somebody beat you, let Minshew be the guy. You know, I'm putting it on the young rookie, and nothing against him, but if you take away one piece of the game, and I think in that case is the running game of Jacksonville, that's a lot for Minshew to handle, especially with the pass rush the Saints have been able to get. But you know, Leonard, I've said this before that I think when it's all said and done, Arch Manning will end up being the most highly recruited football player in the history of the state of Louisiana, where he's at. He's got a long way to go, but just the way recruiting is today. But that moniker right now is held by Leonard Fournette. That was nobody more highly recruited in this state than Fournette. Had a great rookie season last year. He wasn't in a good state of mind, you could tell. He didn't play well. This year, he's played well. And he's a hoss. When he gets it rolling, he's a big back with speed. And, you know, Arch Manning's granddad, Archie, told me one time, he said, you know what? He reminds me so much of one guy. And he said, I'm old enough to remember him, Jim Brown.
Wow. Yeah. That's high praise. I mean, I think your scouting report looks just like mine. No doubt. That's the guy you got to stop today. There's no question.
Yeah, he's because – they want to pound you with them. That's what Doug Marrone wants to do. Mm-hmm. He wants to play a little ball control. He wants to control the tempo of the game. He doesn't want the ball back in the Saints' hands one extra time or two extra times. So he wants to play a little bit of keep away with you.
Yeah.
And he does that with Fournette. And on the flip side, you can see where, man, this defense was embarrassed last week. The way Carolina ran the football, but they play sort of up to the level, in my opinion, of their defensive ends, and that's playing up to the Saints' strength too.
Yeah, Ngakoue and the other guy. They're pretty good.
Calais Campbell,
yep.
and Yannick Ngakoue. Those two pass rushers can really get after you. So that again, and even Sean brought it up Monday night in talking about the two tackles, and he said, hey, that's a strength in our football team. Well, that's not a big stretch to come up with that one, but It is a huge part of this offense. When those tackles play well, then, man, Teddy's got more time to throw the ball. The receiver's got a little extra time to catch it downfield. And if you watch Carolina, they pounded both those defensive ends running the football, and they did a really good job. This one's not a real tough take on exactly how to attack them. Jacksonville's talented, guys. It's just that I don't know which Jacksonville team you catch week to week.
I was saying the same thing. And, you know, Mike, I've noticed that, you know, a few years ago they were so physical, and they've tried to keep that mentality, but they don't have the guys that they used to have in those capacities to be as physical as they used to be. You know what I mean? And they used to try to beat you up, and now they just don't have quite as many bodies in there that can do that. Not saying they can't do it from time to time, but man, they used to just run it down your throat and just try to kill you. And they really don't have that sort of capability to really pull it off anymore. And they try to be tough, but I've noticed that they're a little bit more run oriented now on their defense, as far as the way they're flying around and trying to use a speed game a little bit more.
One of the things, Steve, that if you're going to be that way, you better draft and sign free agents that are that way. Yeah. And what I see with them is they have that mentality. That's what they want to do, but that's not the guys they're picking.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yep, you're right. Exactly.
They're not picking that big, sturdy guy to stop the run. They're not getting those big, physical linebackers. What they got is athletes, guys that can run the field. My thing is, if that's your philosophy, God bless you, and you win or lose with it. But you don't have that philosophy, and you go the other way.
Right. Right.
So
you have a flip in your mind. You're like, hey, I want to be this way, but the guys I'm picking are, they're ballerinas instead of bulldogs. You know, so yeah, you've got a difference of a dichotomy there.
And so that to me, I think that's where this team kind of has went in a different direction. Where I think Marone likes a certain player, but Tom Coughlin's picking guys totally on the other end. And so something's not right there between the two minds trying to figure this out. And they got lucky a little bit in getting Garner Minshew. Because, you know, not a lot of rookie quarterbacks can come in and do as well as he has done so far this season. He's only thrown one interception. He's a real bright guy. I was telling Bobby this story that, you know, we have the Manning camp here a year ago and Minshew shows up. Everybody thought at one time he was going to Alabama. I catch him after practice, and he was like, I think it might work out for me at Washington State. I like Coach Leach and the type of offense, and he has a phenomenal year. But who he reminds me of a lot, and actually my neighbor actually coached him with the Browns and the last year in the USFL with Jacksonville, and that's Brian Sipe, who used to play with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
I remember him,
They built along the same lines. And Joe used to always tell me, he said, Mike, if, you know, like Acadia windows, they make these hurricane-proof windows. And he said, you know, they all double-paned. He said, if I put it 22 yards away, he said, Sipe couldn't break that glass. But if I put, he said, a bullseye on it, and I let him throw it 25 times, he could hit it 23 in the bullseye. He said, that's the type player. And he used to always say, it's mental muscle. That's what Minshew has. Mm-hmm. He's so smart between the ears in knowing where to go with the football, and Sipe was similar. But for me, when you're playing them now, you know they want to run the ball, and you know those two edge rushers are getting a hard push up the edge, then I'm going to run the football, you know, because that's the one thing that could slow down those edge rushers is the ability to run the football.
That's a great, great analogy. Actually, a great comparison there, Mike. Great, great job.
All right, Mike, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to hearing you also on the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff with Bobby and Christian.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
All right. Thank you, Mike. There he goes. That's the Scouts Notebook with Mike Dettillier. Brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional. Keeping you safe in the game. We'll take a break and be right back. It's some more of your text and comments. Saints and Jacksonville Jaguars today, right here on Saints Radio WWL. And welcome back to the Acadian Windhills Fans First Take. Oakland Heart Rolex time is about 3 hours, 2 minutes away before kickoff for the Saints and Jacksonville Jaguars down in Jacksonville. As we get you ready, this is the first hour of Fans First Take. We've got another hour coming up, along with former Saints offensive lineman Steve Court. I'm Todd Meneses. Got a text here, Steve, and I know people are asking. Alvin Kamara, says he will play today, but he does have tweaked his ankle a little bit in practice. So do we think Murray's going to play a bigger role in this game because of Kamara's injury?
I don't think so. I think this is, and again, I think I would have found out more about this had this been an issue. I'm just saying, I think, look, he tweaked his ankle a little bit, so he's been getting some treatment on it because, look, there's no question he's our workhorse at this juncture. Mm-hmm. So, look, he's going to get some treatment, and, hey, Alvin, why don't you take Friday off?
Yeah.
Get off your legs and, you know, get some treatment and relax. You got this week's game plan. You know it. This guy's smart, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is smart. He knows exactly what he's doing. He doesn't make mental errors. And he's going to be ready to go. And I'm thinking, you know what? What's it going to – only thing it's going to do is help him by getting another 24 hours of being off his legs.
Yeah.
So, look, it's a day off for him and a day for just another day for him to get better.
Yeah, NFL Network reporting he fully participated in the walkthrough yesterday and expect him to play today and be the Alvin
I don't
Kamara
think you'll see. Yeah, he'll be that alien type back that's freaky to watch for sure.
I call him the Jello Man. He just kind of oozes through all the little holes. All right, we'll be back with another hour of the Acadian Windows Fans First Take right here on WWL.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.